Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, January 13th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or in the archives or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that page and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for going on 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional state I experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have called in and been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how the use of that process has improved their life. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. When you do that, you'll see the glowing heart icon before you're even done typing the word forgiveness. And that'll give you access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope you do that soon and often because it frequently leads people to have comments or questions. If you have any of those, please give us a call, 563-999-3581. When you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. Last year, We went through the Course in Miracles workbook lessons, and we read a majority of them, certainly. We did not try to cover everyone on a weekend, but so we had this experience, and then people were saying, well, so what are you going to do for this next year as a theme? And we landed on the idea to do the Way of Mastery, and to work through it in one way or another. And what we've done so far is I began reading on Monday of this week, and I read just a couple pages, 2 pages the first day, I think 3 pages the second day, and then yesterday I think I read 2 or 3 pages, and we finished the first lesson. I also made the announcement yesterday that because of the request to do so, I have begun to make available once again my recordings of the Way of Mastery lessons, me reading them. Now, what's been happening on the show since Monday is I've been reading and I've been commenting. So I've been doing some running commentary and not just reading it straight through verbatim. What's available on, and those recordings are available in the archives of this Mindshifters Radio. But what's available on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org is the original, not the original, my original recordings where I just read through, trying to stay as literal and as close to the text as possible so that I could hear that recording as I was driving around in my car, so I could get repeated exposure to the material because I experienced it as so deep and beautiful and restorative that I wanted to be able to hear it again and again. So if you go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, you'll see the menu across the top of the homepage. And at the end of that menu, it says, you know, Thursday online group info. And then there's three dots in a circle. If you put your cursor over those three dots, it drops down the menu of the other items available. And there's a web page titled WOM for Way of Mastery, Audio Recordings of Lessons. And when you click on that, it takes you to a page where the first two lessons, the recordings of me reading them, are available. And I will, as time and energy allows, continue to upload the lessons that I have done the recording of. And I'll repeat that in the beginning of each of those recordings, I mention that we are encouraging people to go to shantichristo.com, shantichristo.com. To learn more about this information, to purchase the book, and if you so desire to connect with the foundation that is responsible for maintaining and distributing this body of work. So, as I mentioned, yesterday we finished reading the first lesson. And what we're probably going to do, because that's what I've been moved to do so far, is to really slow down and discuss what's the essence of this teaching. And the essence of the teaching is told to us over and over again. The purpose of it is to help individuals like you, anybody who's listening, to, and this is the quote, to birth the mind of Christ. For you to wake up to the fact that you have access to the same intuitive guides, to the same spiritual teachings, to the one mind, to the Christ mind, that everybody has, that JM has, that JM is the person who got this spiritual awakening and started to have visits from the entity that's known as Yeshua or Jesus. And he eventually sat down with a microphone and started talking and let the Yeshua consciousness, the Christ mind consciousness, speak through him. And that's what came out as this Way of Mastery book, first the Way of the Heart, and then the Way of Transformation, and then the Way of Knowing. So by way of slowing down, I'm going to back up, and I'm going to read again from the editor's note. And I'm going to just highlight some points here. Very early on in the Way of Mastery, Yeshua makes it clear that he's using a language that his readers are used to seeing in relationship to him. And so throughout this course, he speaks in this traditional Judeo-Christian language. But that's because he's tailoring it to the audience. There have been times when people have asked, why is A Course in Miracles written the way it is? Why is it so wordy? Why is it so circular? And part of the answer is because it was coming through a channel, and the channel, the human being it was coming through, was an academic, and she was in a very high-paced, cutthroat, dog-eat-dog type academic community, and she was also white and had a Christian background. And so coming through that filter, it sounds a certain way. Here again, in the editor's note, it makes it very clear that Yeshua talks about he's using language that the primary audience is, that's going to get exposed to this work the first time it came through, would find understandable and familiar. Yeshua's own language of Aramaic reveals that his own view of the supreme source is more that of energy, not a being, not a person, but energy, and that this energy can be likened to both a father and a mother. His word for kingdom is Malkutah, M-A-L-K-U-T-H, to use the English spelling. And that word, Malkutah, best translates as queendom, not kingdom. Yeshua and his tradition are aware that the divine source consists of and exhibits both feminine and masculine qualities. So even though often he says the word father and, you know, your son, etc., the words that we use son in the ancient Aramaic really just came from a word in the ancient Aramaic that means offspring, that which arises from. It doesn't have a gender like male or female. So, on a number of occasions in the Way of Mastery, Yeshua refers to the divine feminine and clarifies that he's referring to women as well as men. Okay, so somebody clarified that Helen Schuchman was a Jewish atheist and not a Christian. And that's okay because Christians came from the Jewish tradition. They have no idea how similar their teachings are unless they've really done their research. But the idea is it was a predominantly Christian culture that the book was brought into here in America. So talking to the audience is the key, and trying to understand that all of these concepts we're referring to are not something that can be understood or gronked or squeezed down into a simple statement of language. We're referring to things that go beyond our ability to talk about them. We're referring to things that when we practice them, they will bring us into an experience of our life, of ourselves, of energy, of the life force flowing through us that goes beyond words each new heartbeat. So please understand that if you're hearing something or you're reading something in one of these traditions and you've got a strong negative emotional response to it, that's just an opportunity for you to do some work to release that strong negativity or that judgment within yourself. It's not an indication that there's a problem with the teaching. So, those are the notes from the editor's note where he wraps up by saying, therefore, most of the references to the divine in the Way of Mastery are masculine. However, the true meaning is that the essence of that creative energy is the combination of masculine and feminine. And it's not intended to be a literal, the father and his son. So you see a male creature with a male offspring walking down the sidewalk hand in hand. That's not what any of this is about. And then there's a promise from Yeshua as an introduction to the way of the heart. The promise is this: if you become wholly committed to awakening from the dream, and the dream that you have dreamt since the stars first began to appear in the heavens, and if you desire to be only what God created, then truly lay at the altar of your heart with every breath everything you think you know. Lay it all down. Cancel it. Give it up. Lay down everything you think you need. Lay it on the altar. Cancel it. Give it up. And look lovingly upon every place that fear has made a home in your heart and in your mind. That's critical. Look lovingly at every place in your mind where fear has made a home. Right there, that is a life-changing proposition. How in the world am I supposed to look lovingly at the place in my mind where my thoughts generate fear? And where it's made a home means I've come to believe them. I know this is true. And this scares the dickens out of me. This reminds me of people we were having a conversation on Tuesday in the support group. People who are talking about, look at what's going on in the world. Look at this. This is scary. This is, look at what's going on in America. Our democracy is at risk. This is exactly what they're talking about. If you become wholly committed to awakening from the dream that you've dreamt since the stars first appeared in the heavens, you need to lay at the altar of your heart with every breath. You have to lay down, let go, notice your attachment to and release it of everything you think you know, of everything you think you need, and every place upon your heart you need in your mind. You need to look lovingly at every place in your mind where you're holding a belief that generates fear. That is a tall order for most of us from the Western mind. But if you do that, here's the promise. If you do that and allow the correction to come, it will come. It won't be you making the correction. It will be the truth acting upon you as you release everything that's less than the truth. So regardless of how you experience it, this correction will come. And the day and the moment will arise that all of your pain and fear and suffering will have vanished like a wind that pushes the foam of the wave away, and it reveals the clarity of the ocean beneath you. There is a source in you that goes beyond the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the confusion and the guilt and the shame and the humiliation and the bitterness and the resentment, where it is clear and clean as the most pristine ocean ever. And if you lay upon the altar of your own heart, we're not talking about paying homage to some outside deity or some religion. We're not talking about a ritual. We're talking about if you engage this process, if you let these words be more than words to you, to usher you into an experience of yourself at a different level, and you put down everything you think you know, everything you think you need, with every breath, and you look lovingly upon every place in your mind that fear has made a home, the correction will happen. It will come. Regardless of how you experience it, it will come. And the day will come when you will arise, you'll awaken, and there will be no pain, no fear, no suffering. They will have vanished like a wind that pushes the foam of the wave away, revealing the clarity of the ocean beneath you. You will literally feel throughout your being that there never was a dream. Some memories might remain with you, and you will know that somewhere you must have had a dream, a distant dream, or a thought of wondering what it would be like to be other than the way God created you. But it will be such a faint echo that it will leave no trace upon you. In your heart, you will smile gently, regardless of the circumstances in which you find yourself. There will be peace from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes, and that peace will walk before you wherever you go. That peace will enter a room before you enter it with your body. And those who are becoming sensitive will wonder, what just happened here? What's that energy I'm feeling? Who just came into this room? And some will even say, behold, I believe Christ has come for dinner. And you will be that one, capital O-N-E. You will be the Christ mind. You will be connected to your source in a way that you cannot comprehend with your conscious logical mind at this time. For that is who you are. You are Christ eternal. And the purpose of this course, this book, this tool, this set of teachings is to help you awaken to that true nature in yourself. And again, calls, comments, or questions are welcome, 563-999-3581. And I'm just going to read the first couple pages here. We're just going to come back into this. So what is it we're beginning? Now we begin. The first page of the first lesson is titled, The Way That Calls You Home. This is the beginning of the book, The Way of the Heart. Now, in this new present moment, we begin. Beloved friends, I come forth to abide with you where you believe yourself to be. I come not for myself, but for you. I come not to teach you, not to change you, but to love you until you choose from the depth of your own being to set aside every illusion you have ever given credence to and to remember the truth, which alone is true. So the first paragraph of this lesson comes right back to what we just read in the editor's note and in the promise. In order for you to have a different experience of your life, you have to choose different goals. In order for you to have a different experience of your life, you have to do things differently at a fundamental level. Beloved friends, I come forth to abide with you, not where you truly are, but where you believe yourself to be. Because where you truly are is at the heart of the creative energy where you were created. You've never left your source. But you believe yourself to be distant and different and separated. So we're going to come to you and talk to you as though you are different until you can wake up to the fact that we aren't separate and you never left your source and all you ever were was the creative energy extending in form. I come not for myself, but for you. I come not to teach you, not to change you, not to judge you, not to ridicule you, not to make you squeeze through the eye of a needle. I come to love you until you choose from the depth within your own being to set aside every illusion you've ever given credence to and remember the one truth that is true. You are the creative energy expressing in form. You remain as your creator created you to be, and you will never be anything other than that. The second paragraph says, for indeed, in that hour, there is a transcendence of all that knows limitation. In that hour, when you set aside every illusion you've ever given credence to, and you remember the truth as true alone, there is a transcendence of all that knows coming and going, birth and death. In that moment, there is nothing but the mind of Christ within each of us. That mind of Christ as a spark of divine light, as a sunbeam to the sun. And it rests eternally in perfect communion and in perfect communication with all of creation always. The great secret is that this is the state of your actuality, of your reality. In each moment and every moment, with every breath, you abide in perfect communion with the whole of creation. Since all things are but temporary modifications of the one fundamental energy, that energy here I have chosen to call the Christ mind, or I call it the offspring of the Father. In each moment, you abide in perfect communion with the whole of creation. You are that spark of the one mind. You are the extension of the energy of creation, the offspring of your Father. Your Father, your Mother, your Source, the one mind, the one energy. Beloved friends, I come to where you choose to be with your thoughts, because you're creating your own life experience by where you choose to focus your conscious awareness. And if you would choose to be open and to open that place within the heart and within the mind in which you can communicate with me directly, I'll meet you there as well. I'll come right into your open heart and speak directly to you. You won't need Dr. Michael Rice or Dr. Tim reading to you from Way of Mastery. You won't need to tune into a blog post or a radio show or a podcast. Right there where you're breathing in this moment, if you open your heart and ask to be shown, the Christ mind entity, energy, awareness, consciousness will come right directly to you. What is important then, by way of the beginning, is to consider this simple fact. Your experience is always the effect of where you choose to focus the attention of your consciousness. This is the only thing that's important in the beginning, is to begin to consider this simple fact. Your experience of your life, of yourself, of the people around you, is always the effect of where you choose. You get to choose where you choose to focus the attention of your consciousness. Your consciousness itself is unlimited forever. Your consciousness itself embraces all the many dimensions of creation. And you abide in that which embraces all things, in all ways, and at all times. In truth, you do not know separation. You do not know birth. You do not know death. You do not know gain. You do not know loss. Your higher self, your capital S self, your true self is inexorably bound to its source. Now, you can create the dream that you're separate. You can create the silly thought that you're less than or greater than somebody else. And you will create an experience just like you dream every night when you go to sleep. But the dreams you had last night when you were asleep are no more real than the thoughts that you're better than somebody else or you're worse than somebody else when you're awake. As you focus your attention on reading these words, please recognize how you, as an infinite being, have deliberately chosen to participate in a form of experience. Pay attention. They're trying to tell you, slow down, wake up. You're creating your experience of listening to these words right now. You've chosen at some point in time to be tuned into the internet or to download that archive file. You're choosing this, and beyond that, you're going to choose every experience you have in listening to it. Please recognize how you, as an infinite being, have deliberately chosen to participate in a form of experience. You will hear these words, and they will carry certain meanings for each of you differently, depending upon yourself, your past experience, your judgments, your hopes, your fears, your traumas. And each of you will color that meaning according to the perceptions that you have chosen to place value upon. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and the whole first part of the hour session was all about relationships as an adult. I'm in my 40s, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and this person doesn't understand me, and that person has kicked me out of their life, and this, and I want a better relationship, and I want love, and I want connection. And I did my best as an experienced therapist to point out where there were practical things the person could do to change their part of the pattern and relationship for the better. And in the last 10 minutes of the session, the person reveals, there was a trauma in my life when I was 4 years old that is so deep that just the thought of it has me sobbing in tears and has me thinking I'm a horrible person and my primary family members believe that I'm a horrible person because of something that happened when I was four. Those trauma memories, those judgments against herself, are coloring everything that person experiences. And that's what Yeshua is trying to talk about here in this paragraph at the bottom of the first page. As you focus your attention on reading these words, please recognize how you, as an infinite being, you've deliberately chosen to listen to this tape at this point in time, to read these words if you're reading them in the book, to have this experience for yourself. And you will read or listen to words that carry certain meanings just for you. And each and every one of you who reads these words or hears these words will color that meaning according to the perceptions that you have chosen to place value upon. That woman in the session that I had earlier this morning, I'm here to tell you, she doesn't even understand how high a value she has placed on those events from when she was 4 years old and how thoroughly that has colored everything she thinks, feels, hears, says, and does in her life. This pathway, the way of the heart, would have every one of us open up to any of those traumatic energies, negative beliefs, priorities, values, open up to them and understand how we, because of the things we've placed value upon, because of the trauma energies we carry, because of the negativity that we argue for, our right to be angrier, we are coloring our perception. We are creating our experience of life every moment through that fog. The book goes on to say, does this mean that some are ahead and some are behind? No, it only seems that way. In reality, each of us is equal. Each of us is connected inexorably. Each of you chooses from your infinite freedom to attract to yourself certain vibrational frequencies, certain forms or qualities of experience. That freedom is what you abide in always, from before the foundations of this world and long after this world ceases to be. Your essence, your awareness, your spark of the Christ mind is a creative force. In each and every moment, you cannot be a victim of what you see. And nothing is outside of you. What you experience, you have directly and deliberately called to yourself, not as a conscious human being walking around the planet on 2022, but as a spark of the divine energy, as a higher soul, as a part of the cosmic consciousness. If you hold the thought, I do not like what I've called to myself, that's perfectly fine. For you have called to yourself the experience of being in judgment of yourself. And that's okay. It's all going to be all right because you're the one who's driving the bus of your experience. When that happens, merely look with wonder, with the wonder of a child, with deep innocence, and see what it feels like and ask yourself, is this an energy that I would wish to continue in? Or would I choose something else? Do I like being in tightness and contraction and judgment of myself? Or might I choose again? For ultimately, when all possible choices within the realm of separation have been made, when they've been made, when they've been tasted, when they've been felt and they've been known, finally, there emerges the still, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks through the soul, and it whispers of the one truth, the one reality, the one capital L loving energy, the one peace and the one bliss that is continual. That's when the soul begins to turn from the things of this created world. It begins to withdraw its attention from its attachments to all of the things it has called to itself. And it begins to transcend its sense of identification with the vibrational frequencies that in the beginning it had only meant to play with. And then by some trick of distortion and forgetfulness, it forgot that it was just trying to play with these energies and it started taking them seriously. Here's a critically important piece of this teaching. It is seriousness within the mind that is the creation of the ego. And it is when we get deeply serious that we lock into our energy system the vibrations that we no longer choose to experience. And we lock them into the field of our soul. And we say we don't like them. And since we have forgotten that we created them to play around with, and now we believe they're being done to us by someone or something outside of us, and we have to fight against them, we give them even more reality in our creation, more of a sense of solidity and validity in our lives, and we lock them into our energy system. The key is to wake up to these teachings and realize that as a soul, you, the individual divine spark, you can begin to choose to withdraw the attention and the value that you've placed on all of these things. And as you learn to simplify the nature of your own consciousness, as you realize that you can surrender into something that is seemingly beyond you, and that you can entertain the insane thought, the way your culture would think about it as insane, you can entertain the thought of trusting the invisible, the Christ mind, the higher self, the creative energy flow, life itself. You can trust it. As you do that, you come more and more to seem to be less and less. And as you become less and less of what you thought you were, conversely, you become more and more of what your Father created you to be. Your Father created you to be the thought of perfect love expressing in form. Your Father created you to be a channel for that love, that creative energy. Your Father created you to be, creation created you to be a simple vehicle through which the energy of love, the love of Holy Spirit, the love of the creative energy force can shine forth. When you wake up to that, your only task becomes the cleaning of your windows, the polishing of your floors, the weeding of your garden, so to speak, the opening of your conduit, cleaning the rust out of the pipes so that the light can pour forth through you unimpeded. The light of the creative mind, the light of the Christ mind, the light of creation itself, the light of love. When that happens, you will no longer find the need to defend perceptions that you had identified with in error. You will indeed know when you have come to that state of awakening. How will you know it? Because you will be able to look upon everything you've experienced, everything that's been created, all the reactions you've ever held within your mind, all of the beliefs, all the perceptions, all the judgments, all the desires, you'll be able to look upon them, desires that you've ever held for anyone or anything, and as they arise in your mind, you will stay at peace. Regardless of the intensity of the experience or the judgment, you will stay at peace, and you will smile. And you will see that within your consciousness has arisen everything you would consider saintly and everything you would consider devilish. You have been both the saint and the sinner. You have been the creator of your experience. And when that happens, your happiness and your unhappiness will be revealed to you as merely the effect of where you chose to place your attention. So there's, once again, coming back to the beginning, reading a little bit from the intro, the promise, the editor's notes, and the first two pages of Lesson 1, The Way of Mastery, the invitation to wake up more and more each day, each moment, to how we are 100% responsible for creating everything we experience. Not necessarily everything that happens in the world around us, and absolutely responsible for our experience of it. So we've got about 15 minutes left, 563-999-3581. How is this sitting with you? What's it stirring up for you? What does it feel like to go this slowly through this material? Give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. And area code 541, you're in the air.
Yes, Dr. Tim, I wanted to ask you a question about the seriousness. Excuse me, this is Belinda. Page 3, fourth paragraph, where it talks about the seriousness of which we identify with. My question is it the seriousness that's the problem, or is it what we choose to identify with? Because I could see that if I were to identify as seriously with myself in relation to the Christ mind and myself as love, that might be a positive use for being serious, as long as I'm not dour about it.
Let me just respond to what comes to mind. I think what this teaching is trying to get us to understand is that you could use various other words for seriousness here. Remember, my introduction talks about how we are using words for things that go way beyond words each new heartbeat. And what
right.
one person means by serious might be very different from what another person means by seriousness, etc. What I believe is gust here is that if I pour too much energy, too much attention, too much identification into my thoughts about a thing, I'll end up being way off the mark. So if I have thoughts about how I am just like Yeshua, I am just like the creative energy expressing in the form, my thoughts about that are, if I give too much energy to that, I'm going to miss the mark, because it's not about my thoughts about it. It's about the actual energetic experience of it and letting go of everything I think I need and what I believe and what I think needs to happen for happiness, letting go of all of that, putting that on the altar as it talked about in the promise. So just look at it that way.
It's a difference between being bound like in a belief system or a doctrine, or going out and experiencing it as a life, as life
within
yourself.
As the flow
yourself.
Of your life, yes. Yes, that's a good way to talk about it.
Life.
It's a life experience. We're being asked in this work to usher ourselves into fundamentally different experiences of ourselves and the world around us. And in order to do that, we have to cancel everything we think we want. We have to identify our thoughts that lead us to attachment and release that attachment or identification. At the one point in the Course in Miracles, it says, open a curtain in your practice. Put away everything you think you want, your trifling treasures put away, and leave a clean and open space where the Christ mind can come. Quit thinking about it. Just step into the experience of yourself as a miracle of life expressing in form. There's no amount of words, there's no amount of music or poetry that's going to give you that experience, because as you're engaging with that, you're thinking about how to talk about it, how to share it with somebody else, etc. We're talking about shifting energetically, deeply. So that's why I think they're talking about the seriousness as a detriment.
Thank you, because, again, it's the way of the heart, not the way of the head, or it's the
yes.
mystic experience, the experiential
yes.
path of the mystic.
It is the way of the heart. And I'm going to turn on the microphone for Susan.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Celinda. Hi, Roger. Well, put in my vote for doing it the way you're doing it. This is fantastic. It's just so delicious to sink into these words and to let everything else go and just sort of disappear in them. I like that you went right to the editor's note again and added that. I am noticing a rather creepy thing that I've been doing all my life. And that is to just find, when I'm walking, for instance, I'll find myself having a conversation in my head with someone or about something that doesn't feel right. It needs worksheets, but I'm practicing fixing it, basically. And my mind, you know, what we spend our time on, where we put our focus. There's a funny noise. I wonder if it's my phone. Are you okay?
Hold on a minute. I'm just gonna mute Celinda and see if that was her noise. Go ahead.
I just have a habit of trying to fix things that I don't. I have tons of little teeny goals, or they're not so teeny, and to let all that go and be present seems like probably what the ancients do, or even not so ancients. In the Hindu tradition, they would teach us a mantra, and we were to repeat that mantra as many times a day as we could. They called it doing japa. And I think the reason is so that we don't let the mind do what my mind seems to do an awful lot, is kind of fuss over things that I don't want or don't like. They may be quite mild little things, instead of being present. It's just, you know, a kind of waking up to the fact, lifelong habit. And hearing these words, just, it's just a big help to reestablish the resolve of not doing any of that, and to trust that another kind of life is totally possible.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I hope that it continues to resonate for you in that way. It's difficult to convey in words what a teaching like this is about, because it's not about the words. It's about an experience you can usher yourself into. But in order to have a different kind of an experience, you have to be willing to engage your mind, your heart, your body, your energy system, however you want to refer to it, differently than you have at any other point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's as plain as the nose on my face, which is pretty prominent and plain and obvious, that if I keep doing the same stuff over and over again, I'm only always and forever going to have more results like I've always gotten.
Right. So, thanks for doing it the way you're doing it. And I know Celinda suggested something else, and I think probably this is fine with her too. I think whatever you end up doing, I'm so glad your readings are now available up there on the internet again. Was that tricky to get them up there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's technology. It's technology,
yeah.
Right? That's why there's only two. It's not just a punch of a button and there they are, but it's work. But I've created the new page on mindshiftersacademy.org website, and you can go there. And if you're like most people on a laptop or tablet, the home menu says home, best of, audio files, audio library, Tuesday online group, Thursday online group. And then there's a little circle with an ellipsis with three dots in it. So you need to put your cursor over those three dots, and then the rest of the menu drops down. And the new page is titled WOM for Way of Mastery, Audio Recordings of Lessons. And if you go there, the first two lessons are up. The first one is 33 minutes and 19 seconds, and the second one is 47 minutes and 35 seconds. And I will,
exactly.
I will add. Well, that's just what's. I'm staring at it, right? So it's right there.
Oh,
and I will add the rest of them. I have the first 31 lessons have been recorded. So I will add them as I can, and you know, what we're inviting people to do is stay with one lesson until you feel an energetic, intuitional nudge to move into the next lesson, to do it without any kind of a time frame. Go ahead.
It almost feels like hypnosis. I think when I'm listening to you read, I didn't sit. I'm lying down. I have three cats on top of me at various legs, torso, and feet. They all settle in. It's as if there's something about the reading which is very attractive to them, and they come in and they hang out. But I shut my eyes and I feel as if I'm hoping that your reading will reach a part of my willingness and a part of my mind that hasn't done this before, that keeps on in the old patterns, even though I know better, and I can catch myself very fast and say, oh, no, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go here. But those neural pathways are so rutted in there. Amazing. So this is just, whether it achieves it or not, it's wonderful. And I hope it's like being taken into a meditation. Very restful. So I just hope other people feel the same.
Well, don't worry about other people. Just enjoy it for yourself if it feels that way. And understand that it's going to be available in the archives after the second hour today. So if you want to go back and do that again, you can. And or you can just go to the mindshiftersacademy.org, the WOM recordings page, and have the first two lessons to have the recording of.
Great.
I'm going to turn Celinda's mic back on to see if she's got any closing comments. We're down to our last couple minutes.
No, thank you, Susan, because you hit spot on to exactly what I do also. So I shall listen to this again.
Good. It's absolutely delicious to hear this again.
I agree.
I'm glad you think so. I'm glad it's useful. And Jeannie said she's putting the link to that web page in the notes for today's show for the archives. So I thank you all for being here and for your comments here at the end. I'll mute you so we can move on to the transition. Blessings to both of you. And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are the energy of love expressing in form, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate you. And thank you, everybody, for being patient with us the last 3 days doing pre-recordings. Yesterday was kind of a surprise. We weren't prepared for that one. But anyway, trying to figure out what to do with my dad to see if he can move into a different facility or if I have to put him into a nursing home. But they did some x-rays on him yesterday, and those all came back okay. So they're sending him for some neurological testing. So that's the next thing up.
All right. Well, we'll send loving thoughts and blessings.
Thanks. And Michael did get back, so he's back here with me today.
All right. Blessings. Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today's Thursday, July the 13th. July the 13th. I said that kind of weird. 2022. And our calling number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in. And like I said, thank you for a couple people said that the recordings were a little bit strange, but glad that you stuck with us through that. And we'll give Michael just a minute to dial in. And I see a hand's already up, and I believe it's Julie Matthews, 541. You're on the air. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. I just heard you say 999. And I wanted to say that I heard that the three longest prayers in the Bible are from three books that are all chapter nines.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, the longest one, I'm trying to get this, I wrote it down. The longest one is Nehemiah 1:6. And then
Nehemiah 1:6?
1:06.
Oh, okay.
And then another one is Psalms 78. Okay. Why don't I have this? Hold on. Not true. Come on, I only have partial information. Okay, the three books that are chapter 9, that's probably what I have here, are Ezra, Daniel, and Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is the longest. That's what I know for sure.
Okay.
I remember then the minister went on to quote some things similar in other books. But those are the ones. And so they're prayers. And so, you know, listening to what the prayers really are about, you know, through the ears of the brain cells we have now is probably a good exercise. And I haven't done that exercise yet. But I like
that.
That'll
be something to look into. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad Michael's back and he's well, I hope. And I'll just sign off for now.
So am I, and I'm rocking.
Good.
Awesome.
So what is the practice we're going to enter into? I apologize. I didn't catch the first few words you said.
She heard me say 999, and it just clicked a remembrance for her.
Oh.
It's the three. Michael,
cool.
Oh, can you hear me?
Say it again.
Oh, it's the three longest prayers in the Old Testament are in the three books of Ezra,
uh-huh.
And then Daniel, and then Nehemiah, and they're all chapter nines. And the longest one is the Nehemiah. It's the longest one. So yeah, I'm going to read up on that.
And a good thing to remind yourself of, because remember, Vladimir Lenin says if we change the meaning of a word, we can destroy a culture by doing that. And if we want a culture of prayer, we really need to use that word accurately. And it doesn't mean put out an order to the cosmic gift catalog and tell God what God should be doing. That's actually the request, the invitation to the Creator to provide something is a petition. Remember, prayer in Aramaic is to set a trap for God. And you remember they said, you know, there'll come a time when your whole life will become a prayer. It's like, well, geez, that mean I'm down on my hands or down on my knees with my hands folded my whole life? I mean, how am I going to eat? But when you realize that when you become the space, when you become aligned and become the space where love shows up, you're now in prayer, the Aramaic meaning of the word. The other is a petition. Yeah. Making a request is a petition. And just so that we can remember that, oh, okay, so the goal is to continuously be that energy space where, you know, just like your radio tuner, you know, if you're listening late at night to your radio, you'll notice that the fine tuning on it, if you get it off just a little fraction, you don't get that station or another one comes in on top of it. You have to really align the radio in order to get that station to come in, especially on the AM dial. And so when we remember that, to be the space, to be aligned and to be the space where active love shows up is what prayer really is. And that if we want to get to the point where our whole life becomes that, we need to be, you know, we need to frame and set goals to stay in alignment and heal what's out of alignment. If we think it's a petition, then, you know, that's going to just go by the wayside. We're going to forget it. So just
yeah.
A little refinement there.
Yes. And I think it'll be interesting to see if we can hear with those ears as, you know, reading the the three chapters of prayer.
The three chapters of petition, you mean?
Yes. Well, we'll see what they, I mean, they might have known these things or intuited them. They might be there. Hebrew and everything kind of stems from Aramaic. Maybe they did get it. I don't know yet. I haven't read them.
But remember that if you're petitioning, you know, if you're going to petition a king, you're making a request. If these are about making a request, then they're a petition.
Yes.
Something
yes.
different then. So just yeah. And joining you and staying in alignment. And I know you're working on that and about that. That's awesome.
I'm thinking that perhaps I'm getting an intuition that maybe they did make their requests in sort of a petition-like way, but the kinds of requests were of the harmony of what you're speaking of, setting trap or being in alignment with God.
Absolutely. That, you know, I think that's the single petition to make. It's just, you know, that line in the Aramaic, what's called the Lord's Prayer, and everybody thinks it's a prayer, and they repeat and repeat, and Yeshua specifically said, don't repeat and repeat. That's not what it's about. It's not about coming from your intellect to your mind or memorization. But there's a line there that says, carve out a space for me, pardon me, carve out a space in me for your wholeness. And so to really, that's to me like every night before I go to sleep, it's like, show me, what do I need to heal? What do I need to deal with? What can my dreams teach me and keep me in alignment with being that space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yay.
Well, I'm done for now. I just want to hear you go on with whatever
cool.
goes on.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, and I'm going to go back and read those three passages.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. All right. Well, you have a blessed one.
We'll align later. Okay, bye-bye.
Yay. All right, bye-bye.
And we have another hand up, and I think that it
awesome.
Is Ms. Magda, 828. You're on the air.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hi.
Hey there, young lady.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice. You sound bright and chipper.
I'm working on it, yeah. We have some time today, so I just have a shorty here because I want to listen to other people who call in and get your wonderful assistance. And my shorty is about what you, the recording that you played on Tuesday, and for whatever reason, I do not remember ever hearing it before. Although I've heard the content, I don't think I've heard the interview, and that may be true and it may not be.
Oh, was that the interview with me or Bruce Lipton?
Yeah. Monday was with Bruce Lipton, and Tuesday was with
right.
you. Michael, adjust
me,
your microphone.
Right.
You're Darth Vader breathing.
Okay. All right. That better?
And
yeah.
who was doing the interview on Tuesday?
Both of those were Mitchell Rabin.
Mitch Rabin. They
and
were
it's
both
actually
done by the same
DVD called Mind Body Bio.
Okay.
Mind Body Bioenergetics. And I was talking to someone the other day. Someone called me after I listened to it. It's like, wow, that was good stuff. And it kind of, you know, gave me the space to go back and reconnect with that about, 18 or 19 years ago, I was in New York City and someone referred me to Mitch Rabin. And I talked to him and went to his studio. We did a TV interview. And afterward, after he listened to what I had to say, he's like, do you know Bruce Lipton? I said, no, I'd never heard of him at that point. He said, well, you and Bruce Lipton are doing the same work. And I was like, well, who is Bruce Lipton? He's a cell biologist. And I can't believe a cell biologist is doing the same thing as I'm doing. That just doesn't make sense. So he gave me a copy of his interview and permission to reproduce it. So a short time after that, I went back to him after listening to Bruce's interview, and it's like, yeah, my mind is boggled. Have you got a contact phone number for him? And he gave me Bruce's number. I called Bruce Lipton, and Bruce Lipton answered the phone. It was his cell phone, and said, hi, my name's Michael Rice, and I got your number from, oh, Michael Rice, he said, you wrote Why Is This Happening to Me Again? yeah, how do you know that? He said, well, I was just in Boulder, Colorado, doing a conference there, And a woman came up and handed me your book, and I'm sitting reading it right now. So
oh,
it's like
goodness.
Interesting serendipity.
Indeed. Wow.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, those were two incredible back-to-back interviews. And how do you spell the interviewer's name, please?
Mitch, M-I-T-C-H, Rabin, R-A-B,
okay.
I believe it's I-N.
It is, R-A-B-I-N.
Oh,
he
cool.
does a, he still does the TV show called The Better World.
Oh, that's great. Well, I thought the interview was just terrific. And again, I've heard all the content, but it was something about how that energy between the two of you rolled, and it was great. So thank you for playing it. Now, how old is that? When did that happen?
18, 19 years ago.
Okay.
Something in that range. You know, I'm not sure exactly. It could have been 15. It could have been 21.
Your
something in that range. Say again?
Your voice has changed a lot since then.
That
it's
was
much lower.
The other person who called me about it said my voice was a lot higher. Must have been another time.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
And
so.
I love, do you have the DVD of that, the Mind-Body Bioenergetics?
Gosh, I think I probably do, but I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I think you've got them all. If you do, you might want to dig it out and watch it, because hearing the interview, particularly with Bruce, I'm thinking, is seeing it a whole different experience than hearing it. And one of the things I enjoyed about it is that Mitch and Bruce kind of went back and forth like, who's going to top the other sort of thing. It was like almost like they had a competition going, and watching their faces in that interview is just a hoot. It's a hoot.
That's great. Thank you for that tip. I was wondering if it's on the website, but I probably have it in a DVD here. So is it on the website, in case I don't have that
it
one?
It is on the website. You know, people can go on the website. It's not on there as a freebie. People can go on the website and buy the DVD for that topic, Mind-Body Bioenergetics, or they can also buy the streaming link to it and have it, you know, permanent link that they can go back and listen to anytime. But I think you've got the whole set of DVDs, you know, over all these years,
did.
So you've probably got it.
Right. I know exactly where to look. Well, I'm delighted and just want to give you that feedback, and I'm glad you're back and hope that your journey was a good one.
Cool. All right. Jeannie, could you take over for a minute? I've got Michael J. calling me.
Sure. I'll do it. So, good to hear your voice, Magda. Yeah, this last 3 days has been a little bit off kilter for us with Michael being gone and then things going on with Dad. So it was just easier to play shows than to try to work around it. So,
mm-hmm. So at this point, you're wondering about what's going to be happening next with your dad.
Yeah, there's another facility that does more physical therapy than what he's only getting like 30 minutes a day right now. And this other facility does 3 hours a day. And I'm sure they break it up, but he has to be able to do that. And so they will basically come and assess him and determine whether they'll accept him or not. And but they're sending him for some neurological testing. They believe that his Parkinson's has progressed pretty rapidly. And so anyway, we've got those things on board, but his CT scan of his stomach came back okay yesterday. And
That's good.
We're just waiting to see.
Okay. It's a process, isn't it?
It is. And if they won't accept him for the advanced physical therapy, because he's not getting any better as far as walking or sitting or anything where he's at. And so if he can get into this other facility and perhaps get more workout, more therapy, then he might improve. But if he doesn't pass, if they won't accept him there, then I'll be having to look for a nursing home to put him in, because we can't bring him home if he can't even sit up or feed himself, or and that's in the situation he's in right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a blessing that he has you in his life. And that you're giving him the attention he needs. So I'm just going to send all of you love and light, and know that the best possible thing will happen.
Thank you.
Please do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay,
yeah, hold the space that he gets enough strength to do the physical therapy. Yesterday we were there in, you know, about 30 minutes, and it was hard to even keep his attention. So we're not even sure that they'll take him where they – I mean, they require 3 hours a day with him. And we're not sure at this point if he's got the cognitive ability nor the physical ability to even do that. So hold the space for a miracle, for opening.
Absolutely. Okay, Maldives, I will sign off and send you my love and the only love there is. And okay, and I'll listen.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Alrighty.
You.
And we have another
Give
hand up, and I believe that it's Susan 610. You are on the air.
All right. Hey, we got a whole family today. All right. Yay.
Hey, Michael, welcome back. Deanie, congratulations. You're doing your juggling act again with all that's going on.
Thank you.
Yeah, feeling for you as well as for your dad. It must have been very hard not to have him know you. Does he know you now? I mean, was that just a blip?
It was yesterday morning for probably about an hour. He didn't know who I was, and then a little bit later, I was just sitting beside his bed, and he was kind of snoozing, and he didn't even remember going to the hospital and having the CAT scan. And I said, well, do you know who I am? And he goes, yeah, you're Jeanie. And I said, well, good. I said, because you didn't know me at the hospital. And he goes,
oh, my God,
like I was lying to him.
Oh, my God.
And
well,
Jeanie, I stayed with him until about 7 last night, so it was a long day.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm having – so he has come away from – wait a minute. He was here all along, and you left people to watch him while you went away. Okay, got it. So you're back. And he's
He was in the nursing home, or in the NHC, supposed to be a rehab facility. But like I said, they're only doing like 30 minutes a day with him. And while we were gone, my son went 3 days – during the week. My stepson went twice, and both of my brothers came in for a day. And so he had someone there every day, but he doesn't remember any of them coming.
Whoa. Well,
yeah, his short-term memory has been a challenge for a while now.
Yeah. Boy. Well, Jeanie, on another total note, I don't know how important it is when you say the date of the show. And since it's the second hour and Tim Hayes already gave a date, but you introduced the day as July 13th.
I did?
I just...
Ouch.
I must
June, July, they're close.
I know. January.
It's one of those J months. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Well, you know, and I think you said it twice, and by the second time I thought, uh-oh, she needs a text. So I texted you, but I don't know if you're free to look at text when you're juggling the switchboard and typing on the typewriter and answering the phone and holding the fort while Michael talks to Michael J., et cetera. So anyway. So... report number two. Jeanie sent me an ARG. Okay, so I introduced your worksheet yesterday in a talk to healthcare alternative mainly, but healthcare workers and psychiatrists. And this is Kristen Ryman's group, and initially you and Jeannie were going to have some kind of an introductory talk with her,
right.
And that didn't pan out, and it wasn't
right.
totally necessary. I think the talk went well, and something challenging, really challenging, happened. I talked about the, you know, I only had an hour, which is really, so I think I talked a little fast. And I have to say,
right.
Michael, sometimes when you're reading your book, you go really fast. It's because probably because you know it so well, and a lot of us know it so well, so we're running right along with you. But I'm wondering if you can just notice whether you're reading fast to get it over with or get more in or to get it across, because you're the genius behind these things, and it feels as if, to me, you feel some urgency about getting the message across, and I get that. But, and I didn't even mean to say all that, but I did the same thing on there. I was talking about the Aramaic forgiveness, and I was talking about how everything is in itself neutral, whatever feeling we have as a result of our thoughts and interpretations about something that happened that is in itself neutral. So it's, and then I told them the basic idea of the fact that we've got a goal, and it's the unreachable goal that causes us upset, and giving up a good goal is sometimes a great idea until you can fool around with it a bit, think into yourself, etc. What I had asked the hostess, the host, Kristen Ryman, was
right.
if there's anyone among your group who might be interested in being kind of on the hot seat and do a worksheet. And she had two volunteers, first come, first serve. And
sweet.
This is my mistake. Well, it should have been. Here's where it gets tough. The first customer was a woman whose upset level was a one out of nothing. And I should have said, how much upset do we have with the second speaker? Because I'm going to go to the person who's really got a more pressing issue, because the worksheet may be more effective. That isn't to say the first one couldn't do the work on it. So I, instead of doing that to the first one, I said, when you're really upset about this, how bad is it? And she said, maybe a five. So I
right.
said, okay. We start working on the worksheet, and we go into the part where you think into yourself, and I use Tim Hayes's patter section on that to take a little more time in there. And she shut her eyes, and she went into it, and she just, I think, I mean, I can relate, as you know, with the still point, I so relate to resistance, but I think what we were experiencing is an unwillingness to do that right there and right then, and maybe with the worksheet itself. But I didn't want to just dump the whole thing over. I wanted to stay with her. And I think
right.
we got somewhere, but it was hard work. And the memories she had, they weren't memories. She was conjuring up pictures in her mind that were silly. And she was saying, well, I'm picturing a bird with lots of feathers and many colors, and he's kind of silly, and he's looking at me and dancing around. And I said, is he saying anything? Is he doing anything? And I tried and tried and tried to keep with her, and I had to do some breathing. And thinking, I have a goal of having the best presentation of this worksheet that can possibly be done. Well,
right.
I don't think it was the best presentation, and I'm not sure how the outcome was with her. There were lots of good comments in the comments part of the Zoom, and when she finished her worksheet, which didn't last long, the second woman came on, but we only had about 15 minutes left. She had a serious
right.
issue. She jumped right into it and started doing the work, understood the goal, gave up the goal, and our time ran out. And so she is going to call me, and we're going to do the worksheet, the rest of it together, which I'm thrilled
right.
about.
Awesome.
But I just want to say, well, it is, except I have to say, when you're on the radio show day after day, it must be a big challenge sometimes to have things not go the way you had hoped, or maybe you've let go of goals. You just let it happen. But I'm appreciating the radio show all the more because I couldn't quite do it the way I wanted to. Phooey on that.
Well, I've never heard you say anything before about not doing things just right. I've never heard that come from your mouth, so that couldn't be an issue.
No, not at all. Yeah, well, you know, yes, okay. It was a passably okay talk, but since I was presenting your worksheet, I wanted it to be a super-de-duper stellar excellent thing. That's not a good goal
well,
to have.
That might create a little more stress than you need. Here's the metaphor that I would come up with. We have the largest battleship in the U.S. Navy. It weighs, I don't know, 1.5 million tons. And it's going at 15 knots, high speed, fast forward. How long is it going to take to turn that thing around?
Yeah.
You're talking to people who have no brain cells for Yeshua's first century Aramaic language. Mm-hmm. And so they're like that battleship going fast forward with whatever their expertise, their knowledge, their trauma, their drama, whatever it is. And if you got that audience from that posture to just turn their heads a little bit and look at another possibility, I think your presentation was outrageously successful. Because you got the battleship to make a shift. And, you know, I've realized over the years, and one of the reasons, and I do quite consciously and quite purposely talk fairly quickly and cover a lot of territory in response to whatever's going on. And I do that quite purposely because, you know, especially when we were on the road traveling, you know, I might never see 90% of the people in this room, you know, we got a room with 100 people. I might never see 90 of them ever again in my life. I'm going to get, you know, if I'm doing a 3.5-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, I'm going to get 3.5 hours with them. And I know they're not going to logically, rationally remember the whole workshop, but if I can help them build some brain cells and then have a taste of even the smallest shift, I consider it to be highly successful.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that.
Because when you realize that, you know, the major attribute of what people call thinking, the major attribute of this so-called mind, and it really isn't even a mind that people are living their lives out of. It's just a database firing off content. When you realize how massive that database is and how long people have been listening to it, to even shift their heads a little bit and go, is that possibly true? They've got some new brain cells, and I've seen it take up to 10 years for somebody to come back and go, what was that you said? You know, they walked away, never heard from them, never saw them again, never did anything with it. But something triggered those brain cells, and I've seen people, you know, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, as long as 10 years, come back and go, tell me more about that. So if you've got some brain cells built in that audience and got them to just tip their head a little bit in a different direction, I think it was highly successful.
Okay.
Now,
Michael,
would it be nice,
you know,
I remember the first worksheet that we did on this show was with a medical doctor, and she was in a tremendous amount of trauma. You know, we played that show every once in a while because it was such a powerful, powerful.
Oh, I
worksheet.
Remember that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I remember.
And it would be nice to have every worksheet that you do with somebody be that profound, but that's not typical.
Yeah. Well, the second one on my one was headed in that direction. And it was pretty much framed out. I said, you take this. You can do a screen grab and get this sheet right onto your phone or whatever it is and print it out. And I don't know if she's doing that, but she and I are meeting tomorrow right after the show to talk. And she lives in the Pacific Coast, so it's earlier for her. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's just I'm excited to finish it out.
Did you let them know that they can download the app for free?
I told them all about, I sent around the worksheets to all of the people who were on the Zoom. And that has all of the information at the bottom about Tim Hayes' website, your website, the radio show. The information is there. Yeah.
But, you know, with the way that the app has advanced, this fourth iteration that Jeannie's done, it just gives people so much latitude to, you know, to touch into so many different areas of the work and build those brain cells, that one of the things that I would request of anybody that introduces it is to let people know you can do this on your phone and it's free and it's private, and just, you know, making that a way to move things into people's hands, and then they've got something they can play with, something they can, you know, jump on and look
That's
at. And, you know, they might look at it once and they might not look at it for a year, but if they've got
I see what you're saying.
As a resource,
the anime forgiveness apps. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't.
Yeah, Heartlander.
I wish I had.
Yeah.
I did tell them about how you, and they, one of them said, gosh, there's a lot of stuff on that page. And I said, you know why? I told them about how you used to make a pile of copies, put them in the car, trying to save trees and save weight and save space, and then you'd set off around the country running your workshops, and that brought a chuckle and a recognition, and yeah, that makes sense. So anyway.
Yeah, that's why it stayed at one page.
Yeah. I said, if you really are suffering, there's a large version on their website, and it's the same thing, but it's spread out. But anyway, yeah. So that's a report.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Michael.
Very cool. Doesn't
take much to please you.
Well, no, that's a big, you know, that you could make a rational presentation to a group like that. That's pretty huge. You know, one of the things that Michelle, we did an intensive actually at Michelle Pache's home, you know, the gal who does the switchboard on occasion.
Yeah.
And the last intensive, you know, we did one up there. And one of the things she said as a psychologist is, when this gets into the hands of psychiatry and psychology, it's going to be a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so profoundly powerful. And
mm-hmm. And
nobody's got an idea. So, you know, who knows what rooks. That's awesome.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, you remember in the codependence intensive, Dr. John LaRance, who's a chiropractor in Florida, was
I remember him
in the intensive, and he's been with what he's doing with supplements and such, and some of the technology he's developed as a chiropractor. He's been doing a lot of podcasts and talking to, you know, to people who have podcasts where they have 500,000 people or 200,000 people. And that's what he's doing as well, as mentioning the app, making sure the app's in front of people. Because he says in what he's come to with his work, in fact, I'm going to be flying out to spend some time with him and some people that he wants me to consult with in Los Angeles in the early part of February. But he spoke of, you know, what I see at this point is my work. What he's doing now is like a three-legged stool. And the supplements are one of the legs. The physical work he does with people, he does things like nasal cranial release, where you put a balloon up somebody's nose and blow it up and move the cranium from the inside. He's doing, you know, stem cells. He's doing a lot of different things. He said, and the third stool is forgiveness. Without that, nothing moves.
Wow. That's so exciting.
You know, he's... Yeah, it is exciting. It is exciting to see what's happening and how it's moving. And he's actually got an opening into some political circles that are pretty influential in the health field. So it's going to be interesting to see what develops, you know. So every little bit helps. I never did hear the show, but back, how long was that, Gene? Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we had somebody at a workshop, and they said that they had been listening to Oprah Winfrey, and the book "Why Is This Happening to Me Again" came up on the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's like, hey, we're getting out there, you know, it's moving.
That's good. Wow, that's impressive.
Every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's the vision. Hitting critical mass. Thank you for picking up and doing a piece of it. You are appreciated.
You're welcome. My pleasure. When she asked me to do a talk, I said, I can't do a talk. And then I thought, yes, I can do a talk. I have Michael's worksheet to introduce. That solved the problem right on the spot.
Sweet. Well, we'll see if it advances anymore. Maybe that conversation we were going to have with her will come around again, and we'll see what develops.
Yeah, good. Good idea. Yep.
All right. Well, anything else on your mind for today? How are all those boys doing?
Well, I watched that movie, Show Me the Father.
That's powerful, isn't it?
I watched it by myself to see if it was appropriate. And the messages are terrific. The delivery is more evangelical type of, you know, it's like a personality difference. It's like a, and I had to sort of get myself through that. But what they were saying was fantastic. So I told my daughter about it. And I said to her, maybe you and Jacob would like to watch that at some point. And I don't know if she's done anything about it. She has some pretty big stuff going on in her own career. And Jacob is doing better. He's fragile. He told his mother he was thinking of having a drink. He wasn't an alcoholic, has never been, but he would like to have some wine. And she said, why don't you talk to your sponsor? Because it's another substance. And he called the sponsor, and the sponsor said, look, kid, you've been sober for 2 months now from any pot, weed, anything. And he said, if you take a drink, you're starting all over. It's another one of those things. And the kid
gateway.
Said, yeah, the kid said, gosh, darn it, phooey. But he did it. He said, okay.
That's awesome.
So, yeah,
sounds like
he's
committed.
On.
That's awesome.
He is committed. He's going back to school, we think, next year. He may have lost his scholarship. He had a nice scholarship from this particular school. And if he loses it, I'm not sure. I mean, Tim Bingham could help out, but he was managing on his own, which he wanted to do. And so he was very nervous about calling them because when he left, he really burned a lot of bridges. He was psychotic. Mm. He was belligerent, insulting and crazy. And he's figuring they might not want him back. I hope they understand not only that, but I hope they take some responsibility for allowing students to get that deeply into that kind of use of drugs without having any input. I'm really angry at all of them.
You're angry at something outside of you. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
I didn't know
quiet,
that was possible.
Michael.
I'll have to look into that.
Now, look.
So here's, separate issue. Here's my thought for him. This sounds like it could be a perfect opening for him to be motivated for you to do some work with him. And here's the piece of work I would see being beneficial. He's got a fear. You know, he has recall of what he did, what he said, how that all came down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this would be a place for him to actually grow in stature in their eyes, in the school's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
For him to do some responsibility communication, take responsibility, recognize and own what he did, and then that he went and did something about it. He's cleaned it up, and, you know, I even had a chance to have a glass of wine, and I refused because I am straight and sober now. That's who I am. And to take responsibility for what he said and what he did, and to make a commitment to something new. could make him shine in their eyes of, wow, what a turnaround. Because you don't see many drug addict, alcohol teenagers who just a couple of months later have turned around sufficiently to speak like an adult, to take responsibility and move forward with their lives. So that may just cement his scholarship on another level. That'd be my thought.
That's a great thought. Next time he and I talk, I will put it to him. Yeah. And maybe even before I may initiate a talk. He isn't calling as often, which is a good sign. He was very dependent on, you know, just leaned hard on mainly me because he was
right.
at a loss. But he's more on his own now, and he's working a job part-time in theater down there, teaching kids, evidently doing really well. Just put together a video of an audition that he was going to send to various places, including the school, and say, this is what I'm up to now, and, you know, so on. So he is pulling together. Boy, I think about those two older boys, and the older one, too, Luke. I often talked about him. He asked me for money the other day, and I had to think about it, and I said, Luke, I can't give you money. If you need to get some clothes, I can help out with that, but I can't give you money. I'm so sorry. I hope you understand. And he wrote back and said, I do understand, and I love you. And that was it. He didn't push.
Sweet.
But he's been drinking.
Sweet.
Yeah, so he understands we're not supporting that, and he has to go somewhere
right.
else. He's deeply
yeah.
in debt, loan and inheritance, maxed his credit card, has a job, and his girlfriend has a job, and yet he has to write to me and say, I'm totally broke. My credit card is maxed, and can you help? And I'm saying no. Boy, that's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Helping him to be accountable is a gift. And reminding him that going back to drink is the beginning of a slippery slope that he might want to think twice about.
Well, he's already still drinking. He hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
This is Luke. Mm. No, yeah.
Right, right. I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thought that comes... Yeah, two other thoughts. One, has Tim Bingham seen the Show Me the Father?
No.
Might be useful to him, and you could put the caveat in if it's a little charismatic and you can let go of that, but just listen to the message. And the other thought is that the situation,
Jacob?
If Jacob's going to move in the direction of responsibility communication, you know, there's a powerful show where Magda called in and shared what happened to her with her grandfather and putting forward, you know, these are the kinds of things that can happen. These are the kinds of things that ultimately we need to process that drive us into places we'd rather not go, but because they're unconscious, we're not aware of it. Here's what healing looks like there. And that might just give him, you know, help him to build the brain cells. Just listening to that little, you know, I think it was a 22 or 25 minute segment, something like that, where she shared that. And if you don't have the link, I'll gladly send it to you, or Jeannie can put it in the notes. And if you give that a listen, that might get it already. How shocking.
Say Jeannie, add it again.
So if you want to grab that link and send it to him.
Yeah, right. Thanks a lot. Good idea.
Yeah, we'll hold the space. You know, you are making such monumental shifts in one generation.
We'll see. I hope so.
Well, you are. I mean, there's no doubt. There's no question about it. You know, when I hear what you two have done, are doing, the results you're producing, you know, I can remember back a while ago when you shared how your daughter had said, gee, you know, something to the effect of, you know, Dad's here. He's really here with us. And, you know, that's a monumental change in one generation from fathers who are resented and conflicted with and all of that. That's huge. And that, you know, I mean, there are so many kids out there right now in that age range, and, you know, they think school's for drinks, drink and drugs, and they couldn't even start to have a conversation like this.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You've made a shift. You know, there's another young man who's he's not on the show very often these days. Once in a while he taps in, but back in the early years of the show, he was on it continuously and all the time. And this is a kid whose father was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic, and the raging, screaming memes that would go on in their house, and, you know, memories of being three and father just crashing down on him, that sort of thing. And this young man, when he started doing this work, was single, and he was an alcoholic. He actually came to his first intensive just about a month after he came out of treatment. And now he's married with two children and a daughter that, you know, he shared the last time he was on the show. He shared how his daughter, who I think at the time was 11, was marveling at how she still talked to her father and her mother when most of the kids at school hate their fathers and their mothers. They're totally, completely in the dark with their fathers and mothers. And this 11-year-old comes home and reports to dad and mom. It's like, gee, I don't understand it, but I sure am glad that, you know, we connect, we talk, we share, we have love for each other, you know, in the vernacular of the culture. And, absolutely. I mean, in one generation, going from a kid who has memories of being three and his father just violently crashing down on him to a child who at 11, with, you know, the way the culture is and the way the kids are, and it's considered normal to have the, you know, the terrible teens.
Yeah.
They're not experiencing that. And, you know, that's like a monumental shift to make in one, when you realize how long has it taken to get to the qualities of insanity that we see in the culture. How many generations did it take to degrade to that? And to turn that around in one generation, that's like monumental.
You know, Michael, it's good to hear that, because sometimes you talk about how many ancestors we have and all the messes they've been in, and I end up thinking there's no way we can clean this up. But you're saying something now quite different. Is a big
one generation.
Big changes. Wow.
Yeah.
And
one
it doesn't
generation.
Have to be everything.
No.
You don't have to know all
exactly.
the trauma. You don't have to know all the people. Oh, that's nice to hear. Good. Hey, Michael, now that I've got you, you poor guys, I go from one thing to the next. But you
that's exactly what we're here for, that we're not poor, we're rich because of that.
Okay. Well, I wanted to invite anyone who's listening to the show who might like to join my new private in my studio exercise business, half hour, three times a week, $5 per session, which goes to our refugee center as a donation. For me, you can't get the tax deduction because you're actually getting a service. You're getting a class.
Something for it, right.
For
exactly.
It. Yeah. But my class is filling up very nicely, and I don't want to have, I said 12 to 14. Now I'm going to say 20 people to 25 because not everybody will come on each time, but I have to be able
right.
to see everybody in the Zoom frames because I need
right.
to be able to yell at them, tell them to point their toe and stretch
right.
and so forth. So, but anybody who might be interested, it's 9:15 to 9:45, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Eastern time, starting in March. So,
and how do they sign up for it?
Well, they can just email me or come on Facebook, Susan Holzman Bingham, or email me or at Susan Bingham at, well, that's a long email. That's a pain to put.
Well, they can drop us a note if so that we don't have to
yeah,
get your email interested. Involved. Jeannie's email,
okay.
if anybody's interested, jeannie@yagain.org. And so that's an email we announce all the time. So if you want to do that, and then we'll just pass it along. And that keeps your private information
great.
Private. Awesome.
That's great. The cool thing about Zoom, as you know, is I have somebody from Santa Fe, somebody from Colorado, somebody from California, one from Cape Cod, one from Carolinas,
right.
several local people. but it's just so fun to have people coming from all over. Of course, and the people on the West Coast have to get up really early, but some of them do anyway, so. Anyway, it's just
maybe Bob in Australia will even show up. Who knows? There, Bob, there's the invitation.
Right. The Midnight Pilates class. It's just stretching and strength work and trying to target all the muscle groups 3 times a week for a very short time. It's fun. It's a great little group of people.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep.
Yay. Awesome.
Thanks, you guys. I sure took advantage of that platform.
Hey, let's go for it. That's what we're here for. We're here to support.
Great.
Absolutely. Pass it along.
Thanks.
Well, tell Tim we said hello and send our love. And I'd love if he watches Show Me the Father, it'd be fun to hear his thoughts on it.
Okay.
I thought the turnaround at the end was just mind-boggling.
You mean the boy whose father was his coach the whole time?
Yeah, we don't want to give it away, but it's mind-boggling, yes.
It is mind-boggling. That was just the most miraculous thing.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
God is twinkling in there throughout.
Yes. Yeah, love is present and very powerfully brought forward in a very real way, a very practical way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you both.
Sweet. All right, young lady, we appreciate you.
Very much.
Oh, Jeannie, take care. I was thinking about you and your dad.
Thank you.
I'm going
to head it out to see him as soon as the show's over.
Whoa, good luck.
Thank you. And we have one more hand up.
Let's go for it.
I'll introduce this caller and then just let everybody know to be with us tomorrow on the show because we are going to answer a question that came through from the app, someone wanting to know about the worksheet. So we're going to go over the worksheet that is in the app. So join us tomorrow for that.
Yeah, we're going to cover both worksheets from the app. So
yes.
Come play with us tomorrow.
So the caller is, I believe, Roma 808. You're on the air.
Aloha.
Hi. Aloha. Oh, boy. Well, I...
How are you, young lady?
When you said the word nasal cranial about that man, I thought, what in
right.
the world? And what does that do? Why is... What happened?
Well,
can you tell me more about that? That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, you remember in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, we spend the day on hands-on energy field work. And the hands-on energy field work, the thesis, and this chiropractor, I mean, we've worked together for over 25 years, and he's in perfect alignment with this. And what I came up with three decades ago or so was that, you know, my background and the brain cells I have are that of a technician in the electronic world, with physics as a side study. So what I've explained, if you remember from the intensive, is that the bony structure of the body, really, it's the muscles that hold the body up. The bony structure isn't designed to hold the body up. The bony structure is the antenna. And that brings the energy patterns into the structure that animate the so-called body. And important to understand that the shape of an antenna determines the frequencies it receives. So if I've got the TV antenna up on the roof and, you know, I'm in Buffalo, New York, and I get channel 3 and I get channel 4 and I get channel 7, I've got an antenna that's designed for Buffalo, New York. If somebody goes up on the roof of my house and bends all the arms in the antenna, I'm not going to get channel 2. It was actually channel 2 up there, 2, 4, and 7 very well. They're going to be snowy and fuzzy, and it's not going to work well. Or if I bring that antenna down here and put it on my roof, whole different set of frequencies here. The shape of an antenna determines the frequencies it receives. So I'm not going to get very good reception from that antenna that works so wonderfully in Buffalo, New York. In exactly the same way, if you think of And if you just jump on an anatomy chart, take a look at all the fine bones in the head, the sinuses, the bones around. You know, people think when the baby's soft spot hardens that the head is fixed. But actually your head and mine and everybody else's is in continuous motion. It's a self-adjusting antenna. And so in the energy field work that we teach at Heartland, when we do an intensive, and we're actually looking at how, if we're going to do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again teacher training workshop, we're going to have to do that on Zoom. So we're working at how we're going to, or I'm looking at how we're going to do that training as part of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive when we do it on Zoom. So if you remember, the energy field work is how to support the antenna if it's been physically or emotionally traumatized to let go of its trauma and return to its proper range of motion. So the head, there's a phase that's called flexion and a phase that's called extension. Those two different phases are totally, completely different antennas. And everywhere in between is a different shape or structure. The idea of the energy field work is to restore the range of motion to its proper range and allow any kind of trauma that's held in the system that restricts the range of motion to be released so that the antenna goes back to its full range of motion. So let's say, for instance, there's a bone in the head called the sphenoid bone. And that bone and its position, and I'm not saying that it's this, I'm just using it as an example. And as far as I know, nobody's ever mapped which parts of the antenna feed which parts of the structure. But let's say the movement and range of motion of the sphenoid bone is what brings in the frequencies that feed the liver. If you were a kid and dad used to whack you on the head, and that's where he used to whack you, that bone's probably locked up, and that person has liver problems. Now, they'll drug and they'll surgery and do all kinds of things to the liver, but the liver is not getting the energetic frequencies it needs, so it's not working properly. If you fix the sphenoid bone, the liver starts to work, or the lung, or the heart, or whatever cell in the structure. So in that energy field work that I developed back several decades ago, that's an external, using your hands to externally bring the whole antenna from head to toe back into its proper range of motion. The most intricate part of the antenna is those bones inside of the cranium. And the cranium itself, you know, if you look, you might remember that you see like almost like cracks, jagged cracks around the bone of a skeleton. Those jagged cracks are interlocking bone structures that allow those bones to move. So NCR, nasal, the nose, cranial, the cranial structure, release. And what they do, there are three different positions on each side of the nose. And what they do is they use a toothpick to insert a balloon up into one of those positions. There's a way that they test which adjustments have to be made. They insert a balloon and it's on a little squeeze bulb and boom, inflate very quickly the balloon, and that impacts those bones and moves them very dramatically.
It's a
powerful way. It's like that, only it's the internal action of what we're teaching in the energy field work. And so they complement one another in terms of restoring the integrity of the cranial structure. And the integrity of the cranial structure, if you go back into the in utero development of a fetus, there's a point where the jawbone actually sits on the hip bone in its developmental phases. They are resonating energy cavities. So what happens in the cranium happens in the pelvis. What happens in the pelvis happens to the cranium. So when you change one part of the antenna because they're resonating structures in alignment with each other, you change the other part of the antenna. And it just can have so profound impacts on behavior, on physiology, on function, on everything. So that's what it is, and we're down to the last few seconds, so I'm just going to say thank you, everybody, for participation, your questions. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.